Good day, everyone. I think I know everyone who's on the call currently, but I'm Adrian Lusa, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to today's insightful webinar titled Going Global, Your 2024 Biotech Growth Plan from Africa and Beyond. So the session is designed to offer cutting-edge strategies for biotech leaders aiming for significant growth in the upcoming year, so in 2024. And before we get started, maybe just a quick housekeeping rules. You could use the chat for questions and comments during the presentations, and then we'll have a Q&A session towards the end with Erica and Jennifer. And of course, like I mentioned in a few minutes ago, the webinar is being recorded for future access. Right, so let me introduce our distinguished speakers. We have Erica Sosnowski and Jennifer Andrews. Erica is the managing partner at Sosna & Co., a leading business development firm in the life sciences industry with a career spanning over 15 years. And she has been instrumental in closing over $250 million in deals in the last 5 years alone. So she has a stellar track record, and her vast network includes over 80,000 senior executives in the life sciences sector. Her expertise stems from her diverse experience in business development, extending for all the way from startups to global pharmaceutical giants. And in terms of qualifications, she holds a BSc in biology and Spanish, as well as an executive MBA from St. Mary's University. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you.
And our second speaker is Jennifer Andrews, who is the CEO of Freshleaf Marketing. Jennifer brings a unique blend of scientific knowledge and marketing acumen with 14 years of experience in the life sciences industry. She has worked with nearly 50 scientific companies and has mentored over 70 startups and small businesses. She's known for her expertise in marketing strategy, brand identity, and content creation. She's also the author of Scientist to CEO, which is the marketing handbook to help STEM professionals grow a thriving business. Jennifer holds a BSc in biology and MSc in human health and nutrition, as well as an MBA. So Erica, Jennifer, we from Africa are thrilled to have you share your insights with us today. And we look forward to learning from your immense experiences across your career and across the globe where you've worked already. And also maybe just one last time, let's ask those who are just joining. You are joining as Adrian, so please kindly click on the three dots at the top of your profile to change your name so we know who's on the call. Thank you.
Thanks so much for the introduction, Adrian. That was really, really kind. So I'm sharing my screen. Hopefully you can see my slide, I assume.
And I think because you're all joining as a panelist instead of an attendee, you'll have the ability to talk. So this is actually because we've got a close-knit group here. Feel free to just raise your hand and we can take live questions in this one. It's a bit of a different format, but let's have fun with it. So go ahead, Jen.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much. So we're here. This is a webinar format, but we'll keep it open. You can obviously feel free to ask any questions, stop us, and we can discuss as we go. But we'll continue forth. We're going to talk about your biotech growth plan for the coming year from Africa and beyond. So we're going to talk all about, as you probably could tell from our backgrounds, business development and marketing, and sort of how to put it all together into one plan to get there. So today, what you can expect, we'll be talking for most of it, but like I said, ask any questions and we can provide the slides afterward. If you just let us know, you can email us if you'd like, or subscribe to one of our email lists and we'll know that you came from this, and we'll send you the video recording, or Adrian can probably make that available. So that's what today is going to be. It's the format. We covered all of this, but Erica has, we don't need to recap this, but Erica, do you want to add anything to your bio?
No, it's just a pleasure to be with everybody. So it's nice to see.
Awesome. Yeah, same with me. We covered all of that. So business development and marketing is what we're talking about today. And we want to start with a quick story, because when you talk about these topics, it can almost seem a bit fluffy. It's hard to put it all together and figure things out. So I want you to be Michael. This is a pseudonym. It is the amalgamation of probably every company I've ever worked with, every business owner. So Michael, quote unquote, Michael has a lab. It's a really successful laboratory. He enjoyed steady growth. He was earning, you know, significant revenue, but he found out that after building his team and expanding, his business was coming from all the traditional stuff he was accustomed to doing. So networking, obviously phone calls and attending events, he exchanged business cards. But over time, he realized the leads were sort of drying up, and he had sustained like a good 10-year run. So this was really alarming and actually quite emotional for Michael. He was getting sort of panicked in this. So what happened with this story? The market was strong and he served the pharmaceutical market. So of course, the service was still valuable. There were no competitors coming into play. But if he had done an audit, he would have realized that, and an audit of marketing and BD, he would have realized that there's no real active outward promotion that he was doing. There was no outreach. There was no message that really was clear and compelling. It was much too scientific and too dry. And he was doing no outreach on digital channels. And most importantly, he didn't have a system for acquiring any leads that came in. He was just sort of, you know, writing down, well, I'm going to follow up with this person that I met from this business card. And overall, just over relying on traditional sales activities and BD methods. And that's very common. So I want to just state the common mistakes that we see from going from science into launching a product, launching a service. So the mistakes are, mistake number one, and by the way, we'll conclude Michael's story later on, so we'll let you know what happened with that. Mistake one is assuming that a product that's super innovative and unique and that it will just sell itself, and that we see that across the board. But what happens is that you then forget to really promote it. You forget to put it out there. So that's mistake number one from marketing in the sciences and BD in the sciences. The second mistake is not knowing how to actually attract the people to your business. It's easy to do the handshaking and the phone calling, but when we realize we don't have that pipeline of interested people and companies filled at all times, it's very difficult to bring that awareness to you. And mistake number two.
And just to add to this a little bit with mistake number two is, you know, when you're going out and approaching people, you feel like it's a never ending thing. You feel like you're putting yourself out there, but the funnel is something that you have to continue to top up, right? So it's a never ending thing. You can never know, although it's a big globe and a small industry, you can never know enough people.
So true. And the third mistake is not having a system to actually repeatedly, well, just like you said, Erica, to actually execute your activities and measure. Most people just do it, you know, ad hoc. And like you said, if you're not constantly doing these activities, you'll wake up and you'll get busy with the science, with R&D, but you'll look around and think, well, where are all my leads? There are no leads because you stopped doing something for 6 months. So those are the three mistakes we see in the sciences. We already talked about that. So we're going to talk today about these three musts for growing a biotech business going into 2024. And we will cover all of these off today. And these three things are having a clear and compelling message with the proper materials that are actually eye-catching. We'll talk about all of this and why that is. To go where your audience is and not where you think they are. And to leverage the power of digital media for both sides of the equation, both BD and marketing, because like we touched on with Michael's story, you can't do 50% of a job and then hope it works. You have to incorporate the digital. So let's get into it.
On the next slide, we kind of focused on business culture in North America, but this is essential to know no matter where you're doing business, right? Whether it's Europe, whether it's Japan, whether it's China, whether it's Asia, is you really have to have an understanding of what the business culture is in the region where you're trying to find strategic partners, investors, whatever it may be, distributors. So North America in particular, it varies by region, but they value punctuality, direct communication, professionalism. It's essential that you acknowledge job titles in North America and be aware of the social interactions, handshakes. We're not like the Europeans that, you know, walk up and kiss each other the first time they meet. So that's important. Depending on where you are in North America, it's pretty structured when it comes to attire, right? And formal handshakes and business cards are really still the norm. And I was just at a big conference in November, CPA Worldwide, and you know, there's a hybrid of people using business cards and digital. And so I think depending on where you are, it's everything's accepted. But in North America, we're still very much physical business cards. So you have one shot to make that in that first impression. So make sure you do your research. And so when we talk about how to successfully get to market, I mean, there's multiple ways to do that, right? Marketing strategies are tailored when you're looking at the unique needs of the North American market, the European market. At the end of the day, the essential point is that people do business with people. So authenticity sells. And I think that, you know, it's all about creating those relationships, because without having those strong relationships and that foundation in place, no one's going to be able to kind of check the box to do the business. So when we're looking at entering North America or Europe or rest of world, whatever that may be, one of the first questions that you need to ask yourself is, will you go it alone or will you find a partner, right? And there's many strategies depending on what phase of development you're in, what you're looking to achieve. As we know, and we were kind of talking with Maritz earlier about the raise environment right now, right? And the fact that it's just very difficult to raise money in biotech post-COVID. So some of the innovative ways to go about moving the science along is maybe finding a strategic licensing partner or a strategic development partner, doing co-development. There are some newish venture capital groups that are interested in coming in at the preclinical phase and exiting around phase two. So the max that you'll get from them is 5 to 10 million. They'll come in, they'll guide, they'll obviously take a board position, but it's a very interesting way to catapult to the next phase without giving up too much equity in the organization. So figuring out this strategy is really going to drive what you're going to do going forward.
And so to get into the messaging piece, I'm sure, Erica, you hear in all your conversations, or let's say you have a new person coming to you, I need help with getting my, you know, business, getting awareness for my business, closing my next deal, et cetera. You probably hear so much about their science, and maybe it comes across as too complex, especially if the person you're targeting doesn't know your exact niche. So this happens to me on the marketing front. And that's why we have to really sit down. So before you have those in-person interactions, those conferences and trade shows, to really hone your message. And it becomes important because if you're speaking something to someone in person, like your elevator pitch in real life, it really should be consistent to what they see on your website, in your pitch deck, your one pager, and so on. So brand messaging is basically all of your communications across every touch point you put out there in the marketplace. And it really has to communicate not just what you offer, but why in a compelling way it's the right fit for your, we'll just call it your target audience's problem, or why it would benefit them. So many companies that I work with will simply just almost state what it is they do, right? If they're a service provider, if they're developing a drug, they just say what it is, but then they completely leave out the fact that, well, who are you talking to? Are you trying to get them to buy into what you offer? You're completely missing out on the benefit, right? So we do a lot of work on messaging with all of our clients, Erica and I. And we want to, maybe you can do some thinking for yourself going into 2024. Is your message compelling? Is it simple? Is it stating the benefit? Or are you just, like I said, saying what, describing your offer instead of communicating it in a compelling way? We always begin with the value proposition. And this, of course, is tailored to what your main target audience is. You might have multiple target audiences. That's okay. But it should really appeal to what they will benefit from and why they should buy from you. If you want a template, like this could even be a workshopping activity, that you could use a simple template. To like the first one is by Steve Blank, I believe. He
into, are you in tomorrow?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so you can try a template. If you find your message in the marketplace isn't really working, you can see if you can describe it in a more simple way, like these templates here. And then once you have those, you can test it out with your potential customers, current customers, and just see, does this actually describe what it is? Is it compelling? And then you can tailor all of your messaging. It's all based on your value prop. So you use it to come up with the topics you'll talk about in the marketplace. And from my perspective as a marketer, this dictates everything I create, whether it's a one pager, whether it's a blog post, an article, an in-depth white paper, it all comes back to these. So I always like to use, and it may seem very simple, a table, this messaging framework, but it's very powerful. And using this, you can organize your core message themes. All of this is best illustrated with an example. So I'll again go back to business to business lab. A lab is easy to describe. We all understand what they do. So for a lab, you might decide on your message pillars as talking about publicly why a company would need to perform these analyses, what we test, and I won't read it out, but that is a way to just organize what you're going to be talking about in the public domain in all of your materials. And then the bottom one that you can see here, in this particular case, it's book a call, but we want to always have a call to action. What's the one thing that you want your audience to do next, whether it's you're speaking in person or whether it's on a LinkedIn post? Are you just posting information and insights, or are you posting information and insights plus asking for book a call with me, or maybe you want to grow your email list, subscribe to my newsletter? It's really key to have that next step. And your next step might even be meeting up in person at the next conference. That's totally fine. But really decide on what that is ahead of time, so you're always working toward filling. Again, it's just another way of filling your pipeline.
And I think one of the important things is, right, when we're doing business development or outreach, your ask isn't going to be the same of every person. And I think this industry is extremely challenging because half of the industry has a scientific background and half of the industry has absolutely no understanding of science, but they understand numbers or regulatory, right? So it's really important to understand who you're going to be pitching to and adjust accordingly, because otherwise it's going to fall flat.
Mm-hmm. And then, well, I already touched on this, but where do you use your framework? Let's say you did draft up, you know, jotted down a few notes. This would show up in your tagline, in all across your website, your print, in articles you write. All of these things is based on the messaging framework. So I personally use the framework every day for every company I work with, and I refer back to it, and it helps you just come up with those subtopics. If you're going more granular, like let's say you're doing a LinkedIn posting strategy, like a visibility strategy. What do I talk about, right? I work with so many scientific leaders, and Erica does as well, where they want to get themselves out there online, but they think, okay, what topics? This is what helps to do that. Having materials is so essential. So like we were saying, if we're out at a conference, if we're booking those meetings, let's say we're at Bio on the West Coast in the United States, we want to have all of our materials ready to go and super professional. So like Erica already mentioned, having that, you have one shot often, because this is such a growing sector. It's so, people, if you're booking meetings, you have back-to-back meetings all day long. Your materials must be, you know, compelling, professionally designed. That's essential. They, you know, it's that signal of professionalism. And that's easy to say, but a lot of companies may not have the internal, like you may not have an internal marketing person or something like that. That's fine. There are solutions out there. We help a lot with that, but you do want to have a pitch deck And when you're speaking confidentially, you want to have a version that you can, you know, once you have an NDA signed, you can then speak to your specifics, give away some of your IP, not give away, but you know what I mean? Share that information. And you want to have both a confidential and non-confidential version, as well as the simple sell sheet, right? And a sell sheet is definitely what you will share: your old company overview, what you offer, why a business would care to work with you, and all of those things, especially the customer benefit, and then maybe some specific details, as well as brochures. Print is still alive and well. It's not all virtual. And of course, you can send this stuff as PDFs, but having an FAQ sheet is also very compelling. And especially if you can think of what are the actual common questions that are difficult to answer on the fly that you might go much more deeper into the science, very good to have. And of course, all of these things should match. They should all be in your brand colors, your fonts, and look to professional designers. This will really help bring life to your materials, and it gets you remembered, right? This is an example of, this is a fake version of a template we've worked with, but just, you can see how eye-catching it is. I am such a fan of graphic design. I'm very passionate about that. And even if you're not, it's almost like looks really do matter in this case. And that's true.
I think just to speak to the business development portion of this, right? Because when we're out there and we're approaching companies and we're talking about the opportunity or the ask, you're telling a story, right? It's the science is telling a story. And so you need to have in your toolbox materials and backup materials and additional materials. And so to Jen's point, how are you going to display this? Because everybody's busy, everybody's traveling, everybody's working 14 hours a day and has family and personal issues. And so when we look at communicating with people, just because they're not responding doesn't mean that it's not on their radar. It's just they have 10 million things on their to-do list, right? So having an arbitrage of additional materials that you can follow up and send and have a strategy that continues the conversation going to stay persistent, right? Because at the end of the day, the worst thing that somebody can say to you is no, it's not the right time. And so making sure that you have that story in place is really what's going to propel you and the conversations forward and help to build those relationships, right?
And we've worked with people who they'll have materials from a company and then they'll, like we were saying the other day, we joked 5 to 10 years later, they pick up the phone and call you and they say, we have your materials from that long ago. Let's work together now. So it's a good point. I wanted to almost tease this right now. We have a bundle that includes all of our, we basically sat down and said, okay, in the life sciences, in biotech specifically, what exact templates would a company need to be successful in 2024. So we put together these 10, we'll talk about it later on. We'll continue on with the material, but I just wanted to mention this here because we're talking about templates and we put together, like what I just said, every template you would need to be successful, including an events list, all custom designed. It's not just templates. It's specific to the life sciences and biotech specifically. So we wanted to talk about that. And it's cool because we work with companies who say, okay, we've been spending the past 12 months on R&D. We have to go to a conference. We're going to, you know, like I'll mention bio, like I mentioned before, the Bio International Convention in June, but it's, let's say it's May and we have nothing. We have nothing to show. We have to have meetings with investors. We have to have meetings with prospective companies, prospective customers. How can we get this together quickly? So we put together all of this. And one thing we'll talk about soon, it's very exciting to talk about, is LinkedIn specifically. So we put together what is our winning strategy that we've used in the past, 15 years, both of us together, all in this nice bundle. So we'll talk about that later on. I just wanted to show it now. But speaking of being where your audience is, knowing your ideal customer, and Erica, I know you work so much with this, is you'll hear people coming to you, okay, I have this exact niche, this exact therapeutic area. What conferences do I go? Where are they? Where are they going? It's a very general thing to say, go be where your audience is. It sounds almost cliche, but it's not. You have to actually look at those micro conferences. Maybe there's a tabletop event where you can present your poster and then get, meetings booked. it's really good also to include the digital side of this. And it's when I hear from companies, they'll often ask me, okay, should I be on, you know, TikTok, that's maybe a bit of a joke, but I do get asked that question. You just have to think in your audience's mind, where are they actually going? What events are they attending? I'll just give away the top channel is LinkedIn in terms of social media, but specifically events. Erica, I don't know if you want to touch on these. I probably left out a few.
I mean, there's so many. There's so many events. And depending on what your strategy is, you can take a look at therapeutic conferences. You can look at partnering conferences. You can look at investor conferences. I mean, your materials are going to adjust accordingly based on what you're doing. You know, there's also strategies if you are a bootstrapping biotech, right? And one of the things that we notice a lot about specifically becoming scientist to CEO is that a lot of the money is poured towards getting to your next endpoint, right? And sometimes this marketing and business development side is left until a later stage. And so publishing white papers at events, becoming a speaker, maybe even joining a podcast, right? It doesn't mean you have to physically get on a plane if that's not in the budget. So there are virtual ways that you can go about it. And those virtual ways can also become viral. So if you can plan to physically be at events, it's preferred, but there are other ways to go about it. When we look at relationship building essentials, we talk about networking, we talk about lead generation, we talk about partnerships. As we mentioned before, people do business with people. And so there's a specific strategy that we use and a combination of all of the things to continue to fill your funnel, right? Whether it's social media, whether it's emailing, whether it's asking acquaintances that you already have in place to introduce you to somebody, working through your associations to help you to do that. But it's, you know, building those relationships over time. People will remember you. People are always willing to help. I mean, that's the nature of this business, right? So make sure you hone those relationship building and continue to push forward.
Well, this is stating the obvious based on everything we talked about so far, but really, when you cannot have business development activities running in the background without the marketing piece and vice versa. Even marketing alone, you can have the nicest professionally designed website, nice materials, but if you don't have boots on the ground in the region where you're looking to do business in, it just does not work. Okay. So Erica and I've both seen from different horror stories, let's call them, on companies who just couldn't, they were not successful. And it turned out they were doing 50% of the equation and not doing the other 50%. First impressions matter. Consistency matters. It all is important. So we alluded to go where your audience is. That's what this section is about. I'm showing my own stuff just because it's easy to describe. But Michael, from the beginning of this presentation, the pseudonym Michael, is actually our target customer. And so he's not on TikTok or Instagram. He is scrolling on LinkedIn all the time, using it for prospecting, going to these events in person, joining trade associations. That's something we haven't touched on quite yet. But it's a very powerful strategy. So where I am in the marketplace is I'm doing the activities that I know Michael is guaranteed to be having a presence at. And I'm sort of forgetting, like, I don't have a YouTube channel. I'm not on TikTok. And I just really focus on my buyer persona. So I'm speaking about this for you to think, well, where can I be? Think about yourself, your business, and ask yourself, are you doing the activities that are really where your version of Michael is, or are you getting distracted? And that's such a common problem, is getting distracted. But when it comes to digital media, we're on number three, leveraging the power of digital media. This is all of the tactics that help you fill your pipeline. So if you're not doing any active activities to fill your pipeline all year round, even when you're busy, even when you're developing your asset, when you're, you know, even if you're at conferences and in trade show season, you still have to be doing all of the other stuff at the same time. Or like we said, you'll wake up one day and all your leads will dry up. So what digital media lets you do is fill this funnel. I always like to show this little graphic, the attracting as many interested people and companies into your pipeline. And of course, we're not just looking for anyone. It's qualified people who are relevant to our business, our buyer personas. So choosing what to do is often the hardest part. And that's what we work on quite heavily together, Eric and I, with our clients, is what exactly do you need to do? How often do you need to do it? And are you infusing that message we talked about at the beginning into that? So it's all together, just a powerful strategy. So if there's one thing I would love you to take away from my portion of this, is that you really need to hone this mix of LinkedIn, events, your website, and your content. So you might think, okay, well, I have a website. Is it performing well? It's really important to just check these basic things without going too into the weeds. Is it compelling? Is it stating that message in a compelling way? And then, so we're going to talk about each of these or touch on each of these, but LinkedIn, and Eric, I'll have you weigh in a moment on this, but LinkedIn continues to be the most powerful social network, social media platform for business to business relationships. So it's not only about, a lot of people here today might use it more for searching for prospective customers and people you want to connect with and then later on meet with, but it's also about building that visibility. And we do that by posting. I think I forget where I heard this stat, but of LinkedIn's, I think it's almost hundreds of millions of users, first of all, but there's a stat that says only 1% of people actually post on LinkedIn. They only use it as their online resume, which if you're a LinkedIn user right now, you know that's not what the platform is anymore. But skipping posting is, it's almost like you're fading into the background. You're not putting your face, your ideas, and your brand presence out there. And most people we work with are the actual CEOs or founders or owners, and then definitely in the C-suite. Your audience, it needs to hear from you and see you repeatedly over time to help build that awareness. It's so important. And a lot of people just don't do that. They don't like to necessarily having comments out there and having your voice heard. But if there's one thing to take away, is that if you're a technical professional, doesn't matter what level you're at, you may be in the C-suite or you may be working for a company, it's so important to put your voice out there, put yourself out there. And here are just a couple of tips. I won't read them off, but it really helps you be seen and remembered. And then once you meet people in person, they already sort of understand what you do, what you're all about, and what you offer. One question. Oh, Erica, anything you wanted to add before I was going to talk about frequency? Because I get asked, how often should I post? But
yeah, I mean, from a LinkedIn standpoint, there's many tips and tricks, right? And you can be an individual on LinkedIn, but you can also create a page for your company and have the voice of the company. And it's a very easy tool to continue to grow your network. I'm sure you've all been at the other end of people inviting you to follow them, inviting you to follow their company. But it's critical to kind of go through the process, because then when you're able to post updates in the appropriate time zones, obviously if people are following you, it's going to come up on their feed. So your ability to communicate with them increases. And so really take time understanding LinkedIn, because it does help both on the personal side and the business side.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And we get asked all the time, what do I post about? So go back to your messaging framework. We actually, because we have seen certain post types, how they're written, be more successful, Erica and I have gathered almost a database, really, but it's a captions, like you could call it a captions pack, because especially as we know, everyone here, I assume, has heard of ChatGPT by now. It just turned 1 year old in the public domain. It is easy to put out content now, easier than ever, but that content, there's no guarantee that it's factual. It sounds, if you just use ChatGPT for the first few times, it comes out very generic. So it's essential more than ever to have your unique company voice and your unique professional voice out there, because it's content is a commodity. So don't forget about that aspect of it, that unique brand identity. I'll stop to just read a couple of questions. We had a question on, can we have some sort of list of recommendations for events, incubators? We actually have a list. It's at least the beginning of a list, mostly North America. However, inside that templates pack, we can provide it to you. Maybe send us an email. We'll put our contact info at the end of this. We have at least, I would say, 15 to 20 events in a table format it's used as a planning tool, but that's probably, I don't have a list of incubators off the top of my head. So hopefully that's helpful. And then another question was,
yeah, and I was just going to add to that, if there's a specific therapeutic area, just shoot us a message after and I can make some individual recommendations, because there are some different conferences based on what you're looking to accomplish.
Thank you. The other question was a good mix of individual versus company. So that's an excellent question. I get asked that at least once a week. Generally, the rule of thumb on this screen you can see is by your company page, you're more likely to be seen and noticed if you post minimum like 1 to 2 times per week. You don't have to post every day. In fact, that's actually too much in my professional opinion. But if you're posting on your company 1 to 2 times per week, and then as yourself, once a week. Now I'll hear pushback on that. They'll say, Jen, I just can't post that often. It's impossible. I'm too busy. That's fine. It's better to have that consistency over a long period of time. So if you can only post once every 2 weeks or once a month, but you know, you can stick to it for a full year and for, you know, in perpetuity, go ahead and do that. That's fine. But knowing that it's best to ideally post once a week, if you can, as your professional self. Yeah, so this frequency you see here is putting out all of content, social, everything together. Email marketing is still powerful. Attending at least a conference per quarter, ideally more if you can, and then putting out a core piece of content per month. We didn't talk too much about content, but by this I mean putting out a piece, let's say it's a case study gated behind a form, like a contact form on your website. And then the questions you ask on that form will go into your CRM, and then you'll get leads that way. And just as a rule of thumb, you should probably ask for just enough to get the person to opt in and not too much so that they're filling out, you know, a 20 question survey. That's all what we want. But you will see companies coming into your pipeline if you put out content that really sort of speaks to what they offer. What they want, I should say, and what you offer. Hopefully those answered both of those questions, but really, Erica, you can take it away for this next section, but we'll just say, like, to get into that is marketing and BD have to, like we said, go together. And it's for all of these reasons you see here, there's overlap. And what this slide is saying is you can't really be successful without both working in the background and executing on it. And we both have the same goal, right? Erica on the BD side, me in marketing, we are looking for that growth and achieving your objectives. So same goal, different ways of doing it. If there's anything you wanted to add on here, Erica, I don't know if I covered.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's important to say that although, you know, the marketing and business development aspect is, it's a tool, right? The science is what is going to sell. And so make sure, to Jen's point earlier, that when you are creating these documents or these strategies, it is with intention to pull those key points out of the science, because that's what the communication is going to be all around. Moving into kind of more of the business development side, I would say, of creating your target list. This is a tricky one. And I would say it depends on whether you're a biotech, whether you're a service-based organization, as to what your funnel is going to look like. But we try to break down the target list into 4 key things, right? Ready, building that target list, creating it, giving thought to it, aim, deciding who to target, targeting, actually planning the outreach and all of the communication that we've already discussed, and then approaching companies and choosing that cadence. What we typically find when we're doing outreach is that if you're emailing people within a 2-week period, you know, a lot of people are taking 2-week vacations or traveling, so they're in and out of the office. So giving thought to how often you're going to communicate with them and when is very important. The objective, obviously, when we're looking at creating the target list is to giving thought to what you can do to fill that funnel. And so looking at kind of the next slide, Jen, we do this in different ways. And we talked about the 4 pillars earlier of social media and LinkedIn and events and in person, but making sure people are continuously moving into that funnel is really important. I think that, you know, tracking that is arguably more important. Because if you're just throwing out messages willy-nilly and you don't have an understanding of when the original contact date was or what you're looking to accomplish, it's very hard to execute. So it gets lost in the weeds. One of the questions, I see a question has come in on growth strategies. What specific challenges have you faced in expanding your biotech businesses internationally? I mean, this is, you know.
Erica, that's from me to the participants. Just food for thought so that you can fill that out.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. Because I could go ahead and answer that on all fronts. So I'll let everybody else kind of chime in because there's so many challenges. But when we look at creating the target list, we use a platform called HubSpot. It's really simple. You can actually get a free version of it, but it's a way of understanding who you're reaching out to, what the purpose of the outreach is, and keeping track of that status on an ongoing basis. You can get into filtering the target list based on therapeutic area, based on whether they're an investor. So there are strategies here and filters and ways that you can communicate with the people accordingly.
Yeah, this is our fake example.
Yeah. And I think when we look at using the target list, if you just flip forward, Jen, I think we're talking about creating the target list, but the target list you can obviously leverage in so many different ways. And this is the point of these slides, is just that, you know, you can tag the therapeutic areas, you can tag everything so that communication remains clean and clear. But the important part is to be persistent. I mean, we talked about this before, but the worst somebody can say to you is no. And so if there are things that are kind of stopping you from reaching out, give pauses to why and leverage some of these strategies, because persistence is the key. And just because the timing isn't right today doesn't mean it's not right a year from now. So
yeah. Erica, I just wanted to say too, the cool thing is, because I like to nerd out in HubSpot, I know you do too, is people might not know that you can also search by, let's say we use the fake example of oncology, like just for, we made up an example, but you can also search by country if you have it in your database. So I know we have like a gigantic database of qualified people, but you can search also like oncology in, we're from Canada, or wherever you want to target. So it's really cool. You could even do like job title, right? It depends on who we work with. They'll just want a specific, only the VP of whatever it is for their, but they only want to talk to those people. So I just like to mention that. And someone actually asked, what's a system? We're showing HubSpot. I can get you a link if you want to look at it. It's on one of our blog posts we did for Erica's business. I'll find that while you keep talking, Erica. I'll put it in the chat for you.
Yeah, and it's great. It's like we said, there's a free version, so you don't have to commit to everything, but it is a nice tool to keep track of all of the communications that you're making. And I think, you know, we touched on this, but the point that we want to drive home is that companies don't make deals, people do, right? And so figuring out ways to continue to build trust, build relationships, it's so essential to making these deals happen. Because without having that personal interaction or that trust, people aren't going to be doing business. So back to Michael, Jen, you get to conclude your story.
Yeah. For those who are waiting to hear what happened to Michael. And by the way, like I said, Michael was a real amalgamation of real people. So turns out it was a happy ending. He overcame his marketing mistakes. He made his message, instead about just talking about what his lab is, it's talking about the benefit. He embraced all of the digital stuff, different ways of getting out there, everything we talked about today. And he used LinkedIn to get all those interested companies and prospects into his database. And he was successful. It was a very positive story. And that is how we help companies today. So you might be thinking, okay, why are we here? Erica and I have sort of collaborated together. We work together on projects all the time, but we have a program that I'll talk to you about in a second, but we just want to recap today what we've learned. We've talked about the three musts for growing your biotech business in 2024. That's having a compelling message, with matching materials, being where your audience actually is, and leveraging the power of digital media. So Erica and I work together in, it's called Life Science Growth Intensive. We developed a program that serves, it offers not just coaching, because we get asked all the time, hey, can we jump on a call? We created a program surrounding this. So it's coaching, all of our templates, and most importantly, video trainings, but you get that sort of one-to-one time that you wouldn't normally get. And it's cheaper than bringing us on board full time. But this, I call it a special offer just to be a bit cheesy almost. It's just fun for me. But we did have this templates pack that we wanted to show again. All of the stuff that you actually need to be successful in 2024, we're bringing it to you for, like I said, just to have fun with it, a discount. But so we made a coupon code for 25% off of this. So it's almost $1,000 worth of materials. You'll see, oh, I should have shown it on my screen share, but we're offering it to you today with this special code. And I'll put the link, if you're interested in it, here into the chat. You can read more about what it includes, and you can actually see a little bit in the screenshots. But like I mentioned before, we sat down and we thought, exactly what will a biotech company need? And there's full white paper templates in it. There is everything I already mentioned. So it's just, we put it together all in one place, because we found I would have companies saying, hey, well, can I just go on Canva, do my own templates? And I will say, sure, go ahead. And then they'll come back to me in like a month and say, hey, I never had time to do that. It's too hard. I'm not a designer. I don't have time. I'm running my business. So we wanted to bring that to you. So use the coupon code Africa Biotech in the cart if you would like this bundle. And it's fully editable. So you see the blue colors. If your brand colors aren't that, it's a click of a button to change it, add your logo, and customize it, all professionally designed. Nothing's just a stock template. So we're pretty proud of it. We wanted to let you know about that. But with that, we're happy to take any more questions as well. But overall, yeah, we just thank you so much for hearing this. And Life Science Growth Intensive, like I said, is our group program. That link I sent with the bundle, you can check out the website. You might find something that's beneficial to you, because as I always like to say, we're both pretty obsessed with helping life science companies, as you might notice. But with that, I'll stop sharing my screen, and yeah, happy to chat after this if people are interested.
Thank you so much, Erica and Jennifer. It's really been insightful. I don't know if everyone else was taking copious notes as I was. It was really enlightening. Thank you for the questions that also came through while you were talking. And I hope that the strategies and insights that you shared are going to be pivotal for all looking ahead into the new year. So I don't know if we took some time to reflect on the question I posted just for discussions. I'm curious to know, what are some of the challenges that you are facing in your business as you're trying to expand globally, or even just attracting more global attention, whether it be from partners, investors, customers? It'll be nice to hear from you. Or if you have any other specific questions to Erica and Jennifer, please feel free to unmute yourself and ask away. We have about 5 minutes on our regular time for this call, so please jump on it.
Everybody's being shy.
Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks so much for that. It was amazing. I feel like I resonated a lot with Michael. We have a lot of shared traits, but it was really funny to see you describe it as every sort of scientist turned entrepreneur. And I think a lot of the time we forget how important those marketing skills and elements are in the business. I think from my side, I'd be keen to hear if you had a top three. I know you summarized them in a slide, but you're listing about posts on LinkedIn and posts about marketing and that sort of stuff. And if we're extremely busy, are there a top three that you would say these are the musts that you must do just as a starting point? If the business is in its infancy, what recommendations would you make for that? Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. The top three things from my perspective would be having your profile optimized and filled out completely. So a lot of us just use it as your resume, but you really have to showcase who you are, what you do, and how you're different. And right in that sub, like that line right beneath your name, that should be, that's major real estate. So yeah, optimize and fill out your profile, have that company page, and be posting on both. Like I said, consistently, if you remember one thing, it's filling out the profile, posting at least once a week on both. And then that message telling, you can share probably a few things. One would be the story behind how your business helps your audience. So you can share that in different ways, but sharing stories, as well as talking about the benefit to the customer with insights specific to your sector, right? You want to talk to the very specific ideal customer, and then just sharing educational content. So those are the top things you would do. And that consistency. LinkedIn's kind of funny because it's like a 6 month to 12 month long game. It's not instant, but you end up seeing your numbers grow. And then the more you can do that, as well as even just leaving comments, because anytime you comment, you're seen by the person who posted, their followers. So it's building up visibility. Hopefully that's helpful.
It was very helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And from a business development standpoint, when you are creating those posts and those and the company page, then just making sure that you're inviting people that are important to you or thought leaders in a particular therapeutic area or service. Because if they're following you and they start to like your content, you can start to see who's viewing you, who's interacting with, and those become just warm hits, right? Because they're already engaging with you. And I think that's something that people don't necessarily pay a lot of attention to, right? So it's really important to just 1 hour, 15 minutes, 30 minutes a week, sit down with your coffee and just take a look at who's interacting or who you want to interact with and make sure that that's happening.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I have a comment. Okay, I think Jennifer already saw that.
No, I love that comment. It was so, because we hear that from every single person who comes to both of us. And it's just, okay, I have the science. I don't know how to talk about it. I don't know anything about graphic design. That's our buyer persona, really. And it's just true across the board. So yeah, I appreciated that comment. We call it scientist to CEO. That's my shorthand for that avatar.
Yeah. And just out of experience, I do work with some marketing agencies that focus on scientific businesses, and doing marketing projects for scientific businesses is quite a budget. And so this offering that you are making is definitely having those templates handy and being able to just plug and play and do stuff quickly on the go. I think it's really, really valuable, because those things can ramp up in budget. And usually at the early stage, people don't necessarily have budgets for this, whereas it's also as important as the science. So thank you for making that coupon available, the discount coupon. Really, really grateful for that. I guess my question to you both is, going into 2024, what do you see as trends in biotech that companies should prepare for in the marketing or business development space?
Well, I know in marketing, maybe you'd say something similar, but I'll speak to marketing because that's my jam. But AI is taking over everything, but it's to be taken with a grain of salt. AI is everything from content, all the generative AI, content writing, design, and stuff like that. Those tools are a big player. I work with these tools. I help companies. I counsel them on using them properly. So I would say that's a huge trend. It's continuing. It wasn't just a 2023 thing. That's how we work today. And that'll be part of our reality going forward, I would say.
And I think from a business development standpoint, no matter what it is you're looking to achieve, whether it's an investment in the organization, strategic partnership, you know, it's a never-ending trend that it's a tough world. You know, there's only so much out there, but I think, you know, making sure that you're consistently connecting with people is what's going to propel you forward, because it is that timing piece. But I think, you know, the investment world in biotech right now is extremely tough. So don't lose faith. Don't lose faith.
Well said.
Any last questions? Otherwise, because we started like 5 minutes late, we can still take one last question. But otherwise, thank you all for joining, for making time. I hope you found it very, very beneficial. And we're still having these sort of events under the banner of the Dialogue with African Biotech Leaders. And I hope you're following us on LinkedIn or you're in our mailing list so that we keep you posted on all of our events. We will hopefully get Erica and Jennifer to come back and share more insights, more practical best practices with us. But thank you for joining us and hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much for having us. Take care, guys. Connect with us on LinkedIn as well for further convos.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.